All right. Good morning. How are you this morning? I hope you're enjoying the sunshine. Is everybody enjoying the sunshine? I think I enjoyed it a little bit too much, so I'm wearing a red shirt to kind of tone down my ruby red face that was maybe shining toward the sun just a little bit too much. All right. Well, we are continuing in the Gospel of John this morning, and we're focusing on freedom. Christ setting us free. This is a great passage. And the passage in its entirety is pretty strong, and it can be easily misunderstood. But in truth, I think it really speaks to the heart of the gospel and to the heart of the good news of Jesus Christ and the incredible freedom that those who believe in Jesus have been given. And so before we read the passage this morning, I want to share just a quick personal story. Many years ago, I used to go to the jails regularly to minister to the inmates, and each time going in, I was always struck by how earnest and eager the inmates were as we worshiped God. And, you know, I never saw the inmates dozing off during the services, never saw them disengage. I've never seen any of you doze off, by the way. I never saw them disengage from the message or from worship. They were always so attentive, so vibrant, and so alive, you know, and they didn't act like they were caged up behind bars. And those of you, you know, who have been into the prisons, you know, are probably shaking your head right now. They actually seemed free. And I remember sitting down and chatting with one of the inmates, and he told me that even though he was inside, meaning in jail, he was actually free on the inside. And he said he never felt so free in his life. And what he was referring to was Jesus's work in his heart while he was locked up. So this was an inmate, a prisoner, who came to a realization of the true bondage that he was in while he was free on the outside of prison. And it took prison to wake him up. But as a prisoner, he came face to face with the truth of Christ and God's forgiveness, and he said, even though I'm a prisoner, I'm a free man. And I know that that story was true for all of the inmates who came and worshiped God so earnestly with us. And, you know, well, hopefully no one here will need to go to prison to find freedom. Instead, I pray that you will hear this message this morning and that you will find true freedom by drawing near to Christ, by committing yourself to his teaching and being his true disciple. So let's read the passage for this morning, and this is from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 47. And you can follow along on the screen if you want to, or open up your Bibles. This is from the NIV version, John 8, 31 to 47. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says, and the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. This is the word of the Lord to you and myself this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you, and I just thank you for this word, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will open up our ears, open our eyes to be able to see and to hear what it is that you are saying, Lord, and I pray that you would go even beyond that, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would come and just give us revelation, Lord Jesus, and a wisdom that extends, and that, Lord Jesus, that you would just show us how deep and how wide and how great, how powerful your love is to us, Lord Jesus, and help us to see you this morning, Lord Jesus, in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Okay, so at the beginning of this passage, John makes a distinction that Jesus is talking directly to the Jews who had believed in him. And it's clear that Jesus is talking to Jews that were once believers, but who no longer believed in him, because he says some pretty pointed things about their inability to hear him. They have no room for his word. They're looking to kill him and so forth. So evidently, these Jews were part of the crowd that was persuaded by the religious leaders to reject Jesus as the Messiah, to reject Jesus as the Son of God, the one who came in the flesh as God. So if you remember earlier in the previous chapter, when I preached, I think about 3 weeks ago, we saw how the crowd was divided. Jesus was in the temple, and the religious leaders were spreading false rumors about Jesus when he was teaching there in the temple grounds. And this passage is in that same context. So Jesus still is in the temple grounds teaching. He is still speaking in spiritual terms. And his focus turns towards those who were once believing in him, but who no longer believed. So right from the start this morning, maybe someone listening right now feels that way. Whether online you hear this, or maybe you're here and you feel that maybe you're slipping away from your belief in Jesus. Maybe you heard rumors that Jesus wasn't real, that he's fake. Maybe you heard people bringing up bad things about Christianity or the church, trying to persuade you to stop believing, to stop coming to church, to stop reading your Bible. Maybe in your own studies you came across, whether in the Bible or apart from the Bible, you came across some difficult things about God, or you read persuasive arguments against God that has you wondering whether you want to believe in him anymore, whether he's real or not. Maybe something's happened that has you wondering and doubting God. If that's you and you feel that you're fading away from belief, maybe it's just happened, maybe it's been a long process, I want to encourage you to listen to what Jesus said to a people who once believed but then rejected him. So this message is not just for anyone who has faded away in their belief or is fading away, but for everyone, regardless of how strong you may feel your faith is right now. Because there's a lot out there that is pulling at us, trying to persuade us and trying to get us to reject Jesus. All right, so Jesus, speaking to those who had believed in him, said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So this is a power-packed statement here that identifies the reason why these Jews stopped believing in Christ. So the revealing side of this statement, which is a bit negative, but it's a very revealing side of the statement, is that he was actually telling them that they were not really his disciples. This is what he was implying, that they didn't actually care about his teachings, so they didn't follow him, and as a result, they were not able to recognize the truth, And ultimately, they were not as free as they supposed they were. They were actually slaves to sin. All right? But the positive side of this statement is that Jesus was reaching out to them. And he was reaching out to them with an amazing offer for freedom, which comes, I think, in four progressive phases, each producing faith-growing results. And so I want you to look at the progression of Jesus' statement here. I think that there's clearly a progression of faith here that that leads to the God kind of freedom. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the first phase of the faith progression is to hold to Jesus' teaching. That is, you know, to listen to and obey his teaching. So that's the first phase. And the second phase is a result of the first phase. You become a true disciple of Jesus. So if you listen to and obey Christ's teaching, the result is that you become a true disciple of Jesus. And true disciples of Jesus follow Jesus' teachings. And now, this is a progression, so I don't mean that Christianity is like a hierarchy or based on works, where you work your way up to higher levels. That sounds like Mormonism. That's not Christianity. So, but faith itself really does have a progression to it. So think of it as a linear progression of growing and maturing in your faith. So faith in Christ, it's not static, right? It has a progression to it. Faith grows, correct? And I think that that's what we see here in these phases of faith growth that Jesus is bringing out here. So the third and the fourth phases are really the fruit of the first two phases. So we don't even have to do anything. We are simply propelled into truth and freedom. So the third phase happens as a result of listening to and obeying Jesus and becoming his disciples. You catch this? So through this, through listening to Jesus, obeying him and becoming his disciple, you come to know the truth. And the truth is that we cannot really know the truth until we've passed through those first two phases. And so let me clarify what I mean here. As you listen, as you obey, as you become a true disciple, you're already starting to know the truth. And that results in the fourth phase where you are set free. Amen? So the first and second, hold to Jesus' teaching, become a true disciple. Third, you come to know the truth. Fourth, you'll be set free by the truth. This progression of faith leads to, I think, the God kind of freedom, and it truly is all by faith and through God's gracious work within us by his Holy Spirit, not by our own strength. Thank God, right? Thank God. But faith is never static. Faith works within you to bring the fruit of truth and freedom if you carry on with your faith in Christ. That's what faith does for us. And this faith comes by the working of the Holy Spirit within us. So let's unpack this a little bit further. This is where it gets kind of fun. What sets us free? The truth. The truth sets us free. So how do we find the truth? Coming to Jesus, obeying his teaching, being a real disciple. Don't forget that part, because a lot of people come to Jesus, seems like they have faith, and then they fade away because they never grow in faith. They never actually listen to Jesus' words or become a true, real disciple. All right, what exactly is the truth that sets us free? Just a second. Not what, who? Who is the truth that sets us free? Jesus, right? So when we are talking about truth, we have to ask the right question here. And I think a lot of people, I think that's what the problem is with our world. A lot of people get tripped up. They get confused because they try to find out what the truth is. Or they believe the lie that truth is whatever is true for you. Have you guys ever heard that one? Well, truth is not whatever is true for you. Truth is not whatever is true for you. There is truth, and truth is not a what. Truth is a who. Do you guys agree? Truth is a who. Don't ask what is the truth. Ask who is the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. Jesus will lead us to the truth. We find out what the truth is by first going to the one who is the truth. It's Jesus. Amen? And he is the one who sets us free and leads us to what is true. And finally, what are we set free from? What does Jesus set us free from? And actually, we'll get to that in a bit. Yeah, shh, shh, shh. Don't give it away. We will get to that. All right, so we got a little bit more to unpack here in this passage. So the Jews answered Jesus, getting back to the passage, saying they are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone, which was not really true, because at the time they were under Roman rule, and in their history they were enslaved by the Babylonians and the Egyptians. We know those stories well. And though Jesus does not point that out, he does begin to point out their self-deception. So basically, the Jews are responding to Jesus' offer of freedom by saying, set free from what? How many have heard that before? What do I need to be set free from? This kind of response to Jesus is exactly the type of responses that we hear from people today who refuse to believe in Jesus. The response I hear all the time is, I don't need to be set free from anything. Or how about this one? What is sin? I don't believe in sin. So I don't need to be set free from it. That's very common. I just got in an argument with atheists online. Don't ever do that unless you want to go for a ride. But these are all exactly, you know, the things that they are, you know, and you can say whatever you want online and it's never going to go anywhere. So, but it is good to hear, you know, how atheists particularly think. And, you know, and it gives us some things that we can begin to try to work out with our own faith so that we have an answer, right? So this is self-deception to say that, you know, that there is no such thing as sin, and therefore I don't need to be set free from it. Self-deception. And this comes because people have made up their own truth apart from Jesus's word. When truth is looked for outside of Jesus, it only leads to self-deception. Sorry to say. And that is why we always need to ask first, who is the truth, and not what is the truth? Then Jesus will lead us to what is true. So Jesus, continuing on, in his reply in verses 34 to 44, he points to the cause of self-deception by pointing out what I see here are three truths. So the first truth is everyone who sins is a slave to sin. There's no way around this truth. So the term sin was clearly understood in Jesus' time. So for the sake of our time, where sin has been turned into a religious term, which seriously, if you look up, you know, sin definition in Google, it's going to tell you sin is a religious term for wrongdoing against the deity, God. All right, so for the sake of our time, where sin's been turned into a religious term, it's been kicked aside, let's change the word sin to darkness. Because that's what sin is, right? Darkness. Everyone with darkness in their mind is a slave to darkness. And I think every person who is honest with themselves would agree that they have dark thoughts leading them into some pretty dark things, pretty nasty things maybe. Well, that darkness inside, and I know you feel it, it is a trap. It's a trap. Darkness entices you with its mystery. It excites you with curiosity, but in the end, it invades every part of your soul and leaves you blind and lost in self-deception. That's the first truth. All who sin, all who have darkness, are slaves to sin, are chained to their darkness. Jesus is the light that leads you out of it, and if Jesus sets you free, then what? You are free indeed. Amen? The second truth here is in verse 37, you have no room for my word. That's what Jesus said. He said, you have no room for my word. Self-deception comes when the word of God is pushed out. And one thing I've really noticed since I've come back into Western culture, into the United States after living in Thailand for 17 years, is that life in America is full and fast. There really is not a lot of room because it's far too easy to just completely fill your life with activities and things and technology and hobbies and sport. Speaking of hobbies, I don't think I've ever had so many hobbies in my life since I've come back to the U.S. Woodworking, painting, fishing, skateboarding, photography, making GoPro videos, tinkering around with my truck, looking at my phone, playing games. I could go on and on. I have lots of hobbies. But part of the problem is, I know you guys do too, I don't have enough time, and neither do you, for all of my hobbies because why? Life is too full. And for a lot of us, not all, but a lot of us, there just is not a lot of room for God's word. And I know some of you here, I know this for a fact, are shining examples for filling your life with God's word. Thank you. Please help us. Please instruct us and let us know how you do it. And please don't say, it'll all come when you retire.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. You find more hobbies, right? The less room we have for God's word, the more likely it is that we will fade away and stop believing in God altogether. So I want to encourage you to clear out your life schedules. Make more room for God's word. Make more room for God's word. You will not regret it. All right, the third truth that Jesus points out to them is very harsh, and it's kind of difficult to swallow, actually, especially if you're of the type that believes Jesus is all about love. And, you know, the reality is that Jesus is never afraid to tell it like it is. And that's what he does here. He tells it like it is. And we need to accept this side of Jesus. So he told them in verse 41 that they are doing the works of their Father. And in verse 43 to 44, he says, you're unable to hear what I say because you belong to your father, the devil. That's pretty strong. How would you like to have Jesus come and tell you, oh, by the way, you know, your father is the devil. That's why you're not listening to me. Man, that's, talk about telling it like it is. So we need to understand here, though, that this is very strong, but Jesus is speaking in spiritual terms, right? And he is describing the true origin of sin for us. He's describing the true origin of self-deception, which is the devil, the true origin of darkness. It is the devil. And then in verse 44, in one single verse, I love this, Jesus describes everything we need to know about the devil. If you're curious about darkness or about the devil, here we go. Here's everything you need to know about the devil, except for the fact that Jesus triumphed over him and he is defeated. So let's read it. Second sentence of verse 44. This is just amazing. So here we go. Jesus on the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is all we need to know about the devil. This is all we need to know about darkness, about sin, about evil. He was a murderer from the beginning, so he was never any good. His goal is to bring death. And look at how many ways just Jesus describes the devil as a liar. I don't think you can have many more ways to say that somebody's a liar. He doesn't hold to the truth. There is no truth in him. His native language is speaking lies. He is a liar, and he's a father of lies. So, my friends, the devil likes to lurk around in darkness, and his goal is to keep you in your darkness by deceiving you and eventually destroying you. And that's all we need to know about the devil. He is the lie and the death. But who is Jesus? Jesus is the truth and the life, right? The devil is the lie and the death, but Jesus is the truth and the life. Don't let yourself fall into self-deception. Listen to the word of God. Don't let the devil blind you. Resist him. Jesus' offer is for freedom, and his offer is to all who believe in him and become his own. Amen? Come to Jesus and be his real disciple. Then you'll experience true freedom. All right, to finish, we're going to look at what Jesus meant when he said he would set us free. So what exactly does he set us free from? In the Gospel of John, Jesus mentions five different times what he has come to set us free from. And I think, you know, there's a lot more than what I'm going to mention here, but I think everything that Jesus sets us free from falls under these five categories, or these five things that Jesus said he has come to set us free from. So first, in the context of this passage, Jesus is clearly speaking about what Jim said earlier about setting us free from the bondage of sin. And he said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And in verse 35, he says something kind of a little odd. You know, Jesus tends to throw these random things in there all of a sudden. And then you're like, what? Where's that from? But remember what I said before, anything that Jesus says is never random. Anything that the Bible says is never random. There's always a reason for it being there, even as strange as it may seem to us. So he said, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And what he means here is a slave has no part in the family inheritance. A slave doesn't benefit from the family like a true child of the family does. So those who are slaves to sin are really outside of God's family, and they will never benefit from what the Father has stored up for his children. They're in bondage in their slavery to sin. They're enslaved by sin. And that's how we were before we came to Jesus, right? But the Son, Jesus, adopts us into his family, sets us free from our slavery to sin, and he brings us out of our darkness where we were stuck in lies and chaos, and he adopts us into his eternal family where truth reigns, where we have our true Father, so that we will be truly free from all the lies and the confusion and the chaos and the death of this temporary world, and we'll be brought into our eternal family. And that is amazing news for us, isn't it? What else does Jesus set us free from? John 5:24 says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life. Jesus sets us free from the condemnation and the guilt that we were under because of the darkness that we held in our hearts, which is very deserving of spiritual death. And, you know, for those who are living in self-deception, none of this makes sense, right? But as you follow Jesus, as you listen to his word, your spiritual eyes are opened and you come to realize that sin and God's wrath because of it is real. And you come to realize the truth that sin really is death. And God is fully just and righteous to just let us die in our sin. It would be unjust for God to not bring judgment for sin. Think about that. It would be unjust for a holy God to allow sin to go unpunished. Think about that. But his grace and his mercy came to us with the offer of new life to set us free through his son, Jesus. He has given us the way to be set free from judgment that must come because of sin so that we will have eternal life, so that we will be brought into his family. It is by his grace alone, and that is good news for us. Amen? Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Great God. No guilt. Third, Jesus has set us free from the wandering around in darkness. John 8:12 says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. My friends, if we aren't following Jesus, then we are wandering around in darkness. It's true. Jesus has come to shine the light on our darkness to set us free from it. He didn't come to shine the light on your darkness to shame you, to bring condemnation, to make you feel guilty. He didn't do that. He came to shine the light on your darkness to expose what it is that is really holding you in chains and to set you free from it, to expose it for what it really is and to set you free from it. That's what Jesus does. He sets us free from our darkness. And you know, we never truly know just how dark the darkness is until we come to Jesus and we look back and we say, wow, that was really dark. He's the only one who can lead us out of our darkness. So will you let Jesus shine his light on your deepest, darkest areas, the secret parts of your life that nobody else knows about? Let him shine the light there. Let him bring true freedom. It's where true freedom resides, is within Jesus. Amen. He will set you free, and you will look back and realize just how dark your darkness really was. His offer of freedom is here for you right now. All right, fourth, Jesus has set us free from the harm and destruction of the devil. John 17, 15 says, Jesus prayed that we would remain in the world, but be protected from the evil one. So Jesus prayed. In his prayer, he said, Lord, I do not pray that you will take them out of the world. He's talking about us, his disciples. But I pray that you will protect them from the evil one. So we still have to be in the world. But God protects us from the evil one. We are still in this world, but we're not conformed to the world, right? We're not a part of the world, but we're still in the world. And Jesus protects us from the devil's snares. The word snares means trap. 1 John 5:18 says, anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God, which is Jesus, the one who was born of God, keeps them safe. So Jesus keeps them safe. And the evil one cannot harm them. Now, ultimately, I think this is talking about spiritual harm and destruction. The true followers of Christ cannot be destroyed spiritually by the devil. I think it's impossible. It's impossible for the true followers of Christ to be destroyed by the devil. Now, the devil can come, you know, he can mess around with you maybe. He might be able to take away your stuff. He might be able to affect your health. But he cannot destroy you spiritually. Hang on to Jesus. He cannot destroy you spiritually. He may be able to kill you, but he will not be able to kill you. Why do I say that? Because we have the Holy Spirit within us, right? 1 John 4:4 says, what does it say? Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. We have been given the Holy Spirit, and the devil cannot beat him. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, fifth, and this is where we'll finish. Jesus sets us free from death. John 8:51 says, whoever obeys my word will never see death. And again, Jesus is speaking in spiritual terms, as he most often does. So though we may die, we will not die. This to me is the real hope that Christ gives us, eternal life. It's freedom from death. But it's not eternal life in our current state where darkness, evil, and sin reign. I think that would be horrible. In fact, I think it'd be hell to live forever in a place where sin, like this world, evil, and darkness rules, forever stuck in this present body. Don't you guys think that that would be hell? I think it would be hell. And maybe that is hell. But as I just showed you, Jesus sets us free from all of that, including the shame and the sorrow, the pain, depression, anger, and sickness, and everything else that comes hand in hand with darkness and death and evil and wherever the devil roams around. Jesus gives us new life, a new spirit, and eventually after we die, a new body in his presence where all of the mess of this world never messes with us again. Amen? Whoever Jesus sets free is free indeed. So all these spiritual benefits of freedom, freedom from the bondage of sin and everything that's underneath that, condemnation, guilt, shame, and everything that comes with that, freedom from wandering around lost in the darkness and everything that encompasses that, freedom from the harm of the devil, and freedom from death. All of these things belong to those who come to Jesus by faith to listen to his word, to become his true disciples. So my friends, come to Jesus. Never stop coming. Put your faith in him. Let your faith grow as you listen to his word. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free, because the truth is not what, the truth is who? Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for bringing us together and for your words here to a people who had once believed in you but were falling away, Lord Jesus, and fading away in their belief, Lord Jesus. And even to those who don't believe in you, Lord Jesus, and even to us who do believe in you, Father God, thank you for this word, Lord, this reminder that helps us to continue to put our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, and to recognize and realize that you are the truth, Lord, and that you are the one that we need to come to, Lord, for our freedom, and that you are the one who sets us free, Lord Jesus. Lord, teach us what that means, Lord. Help us to in this world, Lord, where there is still chaos, Lord, where death still reigns, Lord, where sickness and sorrow and all of these things are still having its way, it seems. I pray that in this place, Lord, that you will protect us, that you will bring us into your truth, that you will comfort us, Lord, by your comforting Holy Spirit, and cause our faith to grow ever so strong, Lord Jesus, and that we will never look back, Lord. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.